and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll dance your fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second hour, your defending fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network here on this Friday, June 19, 2026 edition. Joining us every Friday from 10 to 11 is Pastor Chatfield, history professor. He is always on topic to the current events by the end of the hour. Has a way of tying it all together. If it has anything to do with the Bible, if it has anything to do with our Constitution, if it has anything to do with history, he's the man, and we look forward to it every single Friday. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Yes, general rule as I tie this in, but I'm gonna introduce something that happened. It was either yesterday or the day before. Okay, so Barack Obama's presidential library was dedicated. It's in the Chicagoland area. And I get it. They're going to sing the praises of President Obama and Obamacare and the capture of, or the, not the capture, actually the killing of Osama bin Laden, which was good. Hey, he planned 9/11. He deserved it. Okay, got it. I'm for it. And let them have their architect, their design a building that I guess is supposed to be really good. I didn't look that good to me, but I don't know. I'm no architectural critic. And by the way, I did get a little tired of Fox just totally ripping. Did you see a picture of the building by any chance, Randy, where this presidential library?
You know what it reminded me of? Just from a glance. You know those towers that firemen use for training exercises? You ever seen the training towers?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, you take that and kind of blend it with a prison, and that's what it looks like to me. I think this is the most hideous, ridiculous-looking building. The cost overruns, $850 million for that building. Are you kidding me?
For the building itself. Wow.
Almost $1 billion. And I'm sorry, but I think it's butt ugly. I think it's one of the worst design architectural monstrosities. And also, did you see the neighborhood that they put it in? It's economically destroying that neighborhood. The people are literally just getting pushed right out of their homes. It's insanity what they've done there. But anyway, go ahead with what your thoughts are.
Okay, so they have this big dedication. I'm not really talking about that. They've got their presidential library. Okay, that's fine, and I get it. They do what they do. That's what every president does if they can raise the money to do it. Okay, Valerie Jarrett, who is one of President Obama's senior advisors, said this, and this is history is messy. This is just I'll go over it more on the break, but she said this. right at the very beginning of her speech. We'd also like to take a moment to recognize the original inhabitants of the land upon which we are gathered today. We honor the Anishinaabe, the Council of Three Fires, the Ojibwe, the Odawa, and the Potawatomi nations. Okay, I mean, it's almost like they have to do that every time. Look, we're living on Indian land, and these are the original inhabitants of the land, and we need to honor the original inhabitants of this land. Now, on its face, the comment makes no sense. Why? Well, which one of these? Was it the Council of Three Fires? The Ojibwe? Was it the Odawa? Was it the Potawatomi? Who was it? What Indian tribe are you talking about? I'll come back and talk about messy
we'll
history.
Pick it up right there. Yep. It is messy. Absolutely. History is messy. Short break, a word from our sponsors. I'm Trucker Randy. He's Pastor Chatfield. We'll be right back.
Hear ye, citizens of Northern Michigan. Your Royal Chariot deserves the finest care. From Noble New Tires to auto repairs, Royal Tire has decreed smoother travels for all.
Alas, my trusty steed hath a flat
and terrible brakes.
Fear not, fair knight. At Royal Tire of Petoskey, we fix flats, tame brakes, quell noisy exhausts, and keep your car roadworthy. All at prices that won't raid your royal treasury. Royal Tire and Auto Repair of Petoskey, where every driver is treated like royalty.
Everybody remembers their moment, the moment Granddad handed down his old rifle. At Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey, we respect traditions. We also know that that old gun might not be in the same shape it was when Granddad gave it to you. Mr. Tom Curtis, the gun doctor, will take good care of old Betsy. He'll get her shined up and looking good as new. Curtis Gunsmithing is the one that you can trust with your family traditions. Give us a call at 231-838-5571. And as the gun doctor says, anything but an Abrams tank.
If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
This July 4th, celebrate America's 250th birthday at the biggest party in mid-Michigan at Liberty Mountain USA in Farwell. Featuring Mark Farner's American Band, the Dave Mead Band, and more special guests. Sing along to classic hits, enjoy a spectacular fireworks finale, and camp on-site for the full weekend. Tickets start at just $15. Kids 12 and under are free. Don't miss it. Get your tickets now at libertymountainusa.com and click on events. Come join us and bring your friends.
I'm Justin Michael. I come from more than a century of Republican heritage, a family that has served this country, this state, and our communities with integrity and conviction. My great-grandfather, Edward C. Morrison, served Michigan in the State House as a proud Republican, and that legacy lives in me today. I'm a strong Republican, a combat veteran, and a constitutional conservative, and I believe in limited government, fiscal responsibility, and secure borders. Our district deserves a representative who won't bend, won't break, and won't play political games. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second segment of our history lesson discussion. What the heck are they even talking about these Indian tribes? What is going on with that?
Well, there's a movement. It's been around a long time. Hey, you ever seen the bumper stickers? You're on Indian land. This is This is Odawa land. This is Chippewa land. This is Potawatomi land. This is, let me make the point here. Historians will say, and there's, I tried to get the right number, but somewhere between 500 and 700 different Indian tribes roamed this North American continent. Just in the, just from Texas north, I mean, there were just lots and lots of tribes, and they were always fighting with each other. Listen, one of my main summary points will be, and I guess we live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world where men fight. Men and women fight. Nations fight. Things are decided by wars. Now, we can say all day long, hey, let's not war. Let's not fight. And I don't, who wants war? None of us want a war. I got it. But that's just not the nature of the world in which we live. Never has been. Never has been. And so modern leftists will say, well, the white Europeans took this land from the Indians. And my question, what Indian tribe are you talking about? There are possibly 700. I've even heard estimations more than that. And they were all continually, constantly fighting. If you pick up the Bible, you will see that there were always wars. It is the nature of the world in which we live. We have to be prepared for war. And sometimes we have preemptive wars. Sometimes, and I'll talk about a little bit later, the Mexican-American War, the United States started it. We goaded them into it. Okay. Or not okay. It wasn't a very popular war, but it was, you look backward, and we kind of like Texas, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Arizona, California being a part of the United States now, which would not have happened without the Mexican War. That's the way it is. But, you know, pick up the Bible. Let me read you some scripture here. I'm reading from Judges. There was a, and this is 300 years after the fact that the Ammonites and the Israelites are having dispute over whose land is this. And here is Jephthah is, he's one of the judges long after the conquest of Joshua. In Judges chapter 11, he says, and Israel sent messengers unto Sihon, the king of the Amorites, the king of Heshbon. And Israel said unto him, let us pass, we pray thee, through thy land into my place. But Sihon trusted not Israel to pass through his coast. But Sihon gathered all his people together and pitched in Jahaz and fought against Israel. And the Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel. And they smote them, so that Israel possessed all the land of the Amorites, the inhabitants of that country. The Israelites wanted to pass through the land to get to the promised land, but Sihon wouldn't let them. He comes out and attacks them. Well, they didn't get permission to walk through the land. Well, they were just walking through anyway because they had to get to the promised land and there was no other way. And they were attacked, and after they defeated the Amorites, they took their land, killed Sihon, king of the Amorites. And they possessed all the coast of the Amorites, from Arnon even unto Jabbok, and from the wilderness even unto Jordan. So now the Lord God of Israel hath dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel. And shouldst thou possess it? See, now they want that. Now we want it back. Now listen to this. As cold as this sounds, but this is just reality. It's the way it is. This is not even an endorsement in the Bible. It's just the way it is. Verse 24 of Judges 11. Wilt not thou possess that which Chemosh thy God giveth thee to possess? So whomsoever the Lord our God shall drive out from before us, them will we possess. When the pilgrims came to this continent in 1620 and in Jamestown 1607, I mean, they were hoping to form a land where freedom would abound. They met some Indians, and especially the pilgrims were friendly with the Indians, and the Indians helped. Squanto and Massasoit helped the pilgrims, but there were a lot of different tribes here. And as the centuries went on, and more Europeans came, especially the English, and we formed a country in 1776. More and more states, it was ever trek westward, and we ran into more Indian tribes. And sometimes we treated them squarely and fair, and sometimes not. I'll grant you that. There were some tribes, especially in the 1830s, the Trail of Tears, especially the Cherokee, that were kind of friendly to the Americans, and they wanted to stay in Georgia. A lot of them adopted Christianity, and there was a Supreme Court case where they went to court and says this land is ours, Worcester versus Georgia. But then the Supreme Court said, Georgia, you can't take their property. You can't do that. And they ordered them not to. And that's when President Jackson said, famously, he said, John Marshall has made his decision. Now let him enforce it. We're not going to enforce that. And eventually that led to the Trail of Tears, where thousands of Cherokee Indians were force marched a couple of thousands of miles westward to eventually what became Oklahoma, and a couple of thousand of them potentially, and there's rough estimates, died on the Trail of Tears. That's not a good part of our history, but it is a part of our history. That is the way that is. And eventually the Cherokees and to this mostly became part of the United States, and they adopted, and some were put on and lived and still live on reservations, but most Native American Indians, they've accepted that. That is what happens. You were defeated. That is the way of the world. That is the way of the Indians. It's the way of everybody. And I'm not endorsing all this, but when you start saying, well, we're going to recognize the original inhabitants, you're recognized. She mentioned six different tribes. Which tribe? Which tribe owned this land? Did they have a deed for it? I mean, who did they kill to get it? The Americans? We fought, and the Indians fought, and the Indians were fierce fighters. All on this continent, some of them were more fierce than others, and some of them were totally barbaric. Yes, and sometimes, yeah, they scalped us. You kill a white man, you scalp him. And not that the Americans were necessarily nice, but our form of warfare was the way it is. I mean, even Thomas Jefferson wrote about the American Indian, who's in the Declaration of Independence. And he's brought upon our frontiers the merciless Indian savages whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. That's in the Declaration of Independence. War is terrible. And in the end, we eventually won. Now, let me mention just a little bit of the Indian history. This is easy to look up. The Iroquois Confederacy was the strongest around the time of our forming. The Iroquois, they were the strongest Indian tribe. They had defeated the Huron, the Erie, the Susquehannock. I've mispronounced that. They killed the other tribes and dominated. Again, another tribe, the Comanches, then in the Southern Plains. They had defeated many other tribes, and they displaced the Apaches. You have the Sioux Indians out further west in the Northern Plains. They defeated the Crow, the Kiowa, the Cheyenne, the Pawnee to take control of that whole region. The Cherokee Indians in the southeast, they defeated many other tribes, the Tuscarora, the Catawba. The Creek Indians, they defeated their rivals, the Apaches. In the American Southwest, they defeated a lot of different tribes. The Navajo Indians defeated the Pueblo Indians. And the Indians that were not so well organized and weren't as fierce fighters and wanted to live peaceably, they were defeated by others. The Shawnee Indians, they were in the Ohio Valley. They fought against the Cherokee, the Iroquois. Ongoing war. The Chippewa from our part of the woods, the Chippewa Indians, they defeated the Sioux and forced them out west. They defeated the Fox and the Huron Indians. The Blackfeet Indians, they defeated the Shoshone, the Kutenai, the Flathead tribes. And a lot of times these Indian tribes that became dominant got dominant because they would trade with the Americans, get guns, and then they'd go kill their fellow Indian tribes. the narrative that says that we just came here and there was just peaceably Indians, that just isn't true. And I know it isn't true from history, but I also know it isn't true because it's not the nature of mankind. We live in a fallen world. Just remember, the first person ever born murdered the second person ever born. That's, unfortunately, Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel. He was jealous and he killed him. That's the nature of this world in which we live in. Now, as Christians, we, of course, do not endorse any of this. Of course not. But we have to recognize it. We live in a cursed, sin-cursed world. We're living in a world where you have to have a military, and on occasion, you have to use it. It's just the way it is. We all want peace. And President Trump right now has made a peace treaty. And I was going to do this from yesterday. I wake up this morning and all of a sudden, after what, one day of this, now all of a sudden they're telling us this peace treaty with the Iranians is already falling apart. After one day, they're making conditions now, some sort of toll they're going to put.
Yeah.
Now,
they want to charge tolls for the ship, the oil freighters to go through the straits. I mean, it's an international body of water. They can't do that.
Well, let me put it this way. They shouldn't, they may not, they cannot, they may not, or they should not. Listen, they should not, okay. And they may not because they cannot. What do I mean by that? We're not going to let them. Oh, well, I know a lot of people listening to this. Oh, Pastor Chaffee, what kind of a preacher are you? Are you preaching a might makes right? Well, it's kind of. That's the world in which we live in. We've got the biggest stick. And on occasion, we have to use it. The pie in the sky, let's leave the rest of the world alone, totally, completely, mind completely our own business, is not viable in 2026. And some of my libertarian friends have said, we never should have started this Iran war. It's an unwise war. Well, what would you have done, Mr. I won't mention names. What would you have done? What? Just let Iran continue working on eventually getting a nuclear war, a nuclear bomb, and then using it as they said that they would to annihilate Israel and us? Just let them go? That's what you would do? Just stick your head in the sand and just hope for the best. Listen, this just doesn't work that way. President Trump said what every other president has said since 1979. He hasn't said anything new. He's the first one that did something, though. He's the first one that said, we're not going to let this happen. Just not going to let it happen. And I really think he wants peace. But sometimes when we speak of peace, they want war. If you want war, I guess we'll give you war. But I heard Secretary of War Hegseth say this. Yeah, we knock our guys down, and when they're down, we punch them harder. And that may happen. See, I was hoping that this peace treaty would last at least until the midterm elections. Because, you know, gas prices, upon the announcing of this, you know, it's not a peace deal, but it's, what do we call this? We call this a
Memorandum of Understanding.
It didn't even last a day or two.
Well,
so I'll come back and talk more about history.
Oil prices dropped yesterday afternoon down to $72 a barrel, just based on the announcement.
Right.
Know exactly where you're going there. Short, bomb the hour news break. We'll be right back.